God's word for you, Mark 14, 48 and 49. Then Jesus responded to them, "Am I leading an insurrection, that you come to me with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Mark uses a word in verse 48 that's not always easy to translate. It usually means answered, like in Mark 8:25, Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Here, there is no question Jesus is responding to, at least not yet. Instead, he is addressing the situation. They had sent armed men, including members of the temple guard and servants and others, and in the back of the crowd are some members of the Sanhedrin, chief priests and elders, according to Luke 22:52. And it was especially to those leaders of the Jews rather than the soldiers that Jesus answered when he responded to the approach of the mob. "Am I leading a rebellion?" The word for rebellion here is lestes. It can mean robber or thief, but the word is often extended to someone who is starting a rebellion, such as Barabbas in John 18:40. The charge against Jesus was actually going to be leading a rebellion, lestes, according to Pilate's response to the chief priests and elders in Luke 23:13, and until they tried to add blasphemy, which of course Pilate could not make a ruling about. Jesus describes his previous time in the temple and the teaching he did there. 3 years before this, on the Passover, he had driven the money changers from the temple with a whip and performed many miracles in the temple, but they did not try to arrest him then. That's John 2:13-23. On the next Passover, a year later, he healed a man at the Pool of Bethesda and taught in the temple courts. But even though they accused him of working by healing on the Sabbath, they did not arrest him then. That's John 5:1-18. Then, more recently, just 6 months before this, Jesus had taught in the temple at the Feast of the Tabernacles, but they did not arrest him then either. That's John 7:14-44. Then this very week, Jesus had been teaching in the temple almost every day, often before large crowds, but they had not arrested him then either. Sunday, he had entered the temple on a donkey to shouts of crowds and even children in Mark 11:1-11. And Monday, he had once again driven out the money changers, but the priests were afraid of him. That's in Mark 11:12-18. Tuesday, he had debated with the chief priests, Mark 11:27-33, with the Pharisees and Herodians, Mark 12:13-17. And with the Pharisees, Mark 12:18-27, and with one perhaps famous scribe, Mark 12:28-34. Why hadn't they arrested him then on any of those occasions? Only now, in the dark of night, outside the city walls, did they come for him, as if he had an army to defend him. It was senseless hatred of Jesus that led to this arrest. They had no reason to lay hold of him. If they were genuinely the spiritual leaders of Israel and looking for the arrival of the Messiah, as most of the people seem to be, they should have welcomed him. A few members of the Sanhedrin did this. If the priests were truly filled with the desire for the forgiveness of the people, they should have welcomed him. If the Levites and scribes were truly well-versed in scriptures, they should have recognized him and they should have welcomed him. With almost each and every member of the Sanhedrin, the high priests, the ordinary priests, the Levites, the scribes, and the Pharisees, there was a resistance to the very thought of the Savior coming in their time, appearing in their synagogues, teaching in the covered walkways of the temple, going out of his way to heal people and do other miracles and to teach and bless even children and beggars. They did not believe him. This fulfilled the words of the prophet, "Who has believed our message?" Isaiah 53:1. And again, "Who is he trying to teach? Who is he explaining his message to?" Isaiah 28:9. They despised him and they rejected him. This fulfilled the words of the prophet. He was despised and rejected by men. Isaiah 53:3. And again, have you utterly rejected us? Are you angry with us beyond measure? Lamentations 5:22. He submitted to their arrest, even though it was unnecessary and illegal. He submitted to this injustice in order to suffer for the sins of all mankind as an innocent, a perfectly innocent sacrifice. This fulfilled the words of the prophet. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. Isaiah 53:4. And again, the Lord has afflicted me, the Almighty has brought misfortune on me. Ruth 1:21. But in the very same way that he had publicly healed people of every disease and illness, even those that were singled out as especially repugnant, that separated people from God in worship or sacrifice, such as leprosy, he also came to publicly heal all people of every sin, without any exceptions. He personally healed anyone who came to him and asked him. He saved everyone, even those who did not ask him for forgiveness and salvation. So anyone who puts their trust in him is already assured of the great truth. Your sins are forgiven. You are at peace with God. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.